There's so many different kinds of trade shows, and you have to be careful about, you know, what people are calling trade shows and what Barry has called trade shows. What he meant by speed rounds, and I actually do one of those conferences that there's a speed round at, is that people meet. It's like speed dating for businesses. Right.
Yep.
You meet with it, but they're calling it a trade show. Because it is, in a bigger sense, you know, there's people in business getting together. But, you know, that's a situation where people are meeting for 5 or 10 minutes where it's not about drawing traffic to the booth. These are prearranged meetings.
Right.
The vendor goes, the vendor has 30 slots during the day, and the customers go, and they pick which vendors they want to see, and computers mix them together and match them all up. And wow. Then the events happen, usually for 2 days. Sometimes, however, though, those events all are, the speed dating is in the afternoon, but in the morning, they have meetings. One to 12. So 12 potential vendors with one potential contractor. So that's where I get hired to go in and I do the presentation for my client in front of those 12 people for I do 15 minutes and I'm done for the day.
Mm. Yeah, those are good. I've done one of those as well at a venture capital meeting. It was amazing. Everyone was trying to talk about it, got confused, and Dan and I threw him up on a trampoline and threw 4 bowling balls around him and talked about the 4 main points of this thing, and then they invested.
Wow.
And we did that one for stock shares. It was a very good one.
Yeah.
How many people were in the audience, Barry?
There was only 12. It was a small meeting. It was a venture capital meeting, and they had intentionally got people confused about what they were saying, and then we did that, and we rolled the dice. It was in Salt Lake City, and I said, we'll come out there and do that for some shares if it works.
Wow, awesome.
Good day.
Yeah.
It was a crazy day. So, yeah, good for you, Colin. Good for reaching out. Hey, anyone else have something where they reached out and stretched and felt their heartbeat a little differently?
Well, I went for some of the low-hanging fruit, and I found a lot of security trade shows for security companies
nice.
In Sweden and Denmark. So I'm reaching out to them, and a pickpocket as a security trade show. I mean,
it's easy. It's a good one.
Yeah, so easy sell.
It sells itself. Perfect fit.
I hope they will see that as well. So I'm on the second call.
Yeah, it's your job, you know? Right. Robert, everybody, when you're having a situation like that, be so damn bold that they either say hell yes or hell no. Don't even mess with the middle. Don't even screw around with the middle. The middle's boring, man. The middle, no one even looks at. The middle's mixed with the noise. And more as we grow with impressions of media and impulsive things, get people to say, is he available? Or, my God, I hope he never writes me again. Both of those are a great win. Yeah, love that. Good for you, man. Are they in Sweden, or are you just finding different ones in Europe that are happening?
These four, I have 3 in Sweden and 1 in Denmark. I'm checking now.
Nice.
So I'm talking to the one in Sweden, the closest one in Sweden. I'm gonna do the second call with her tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes.
Hey, and the same thing, you know, if you're booking a birthday party, if you're pitching yourself for a theater or for a corporate event, or you want to do something awesome like have Einstein come out and MC an award ceremony, make it so bold that they say yes or no. You know, that's such a good veil to hang over all your writing and all your marketing. It's like, you just scare people, basically. You know, that's the power we have in doing all this stuff is just to... You know, not be shy. I want to read you guys something. I saw this in a book I was reading yesterday, and I circled it to share with you guys. Actually, I did the modern day version of circulating it. I took a picture on my phone, and now it's here. This is from Seth Godin. The fear of stupidity. Stupidity is not uncommon. Stupidity is the way we feel when working on a difficult problem. Stupidity is the emotion associated with learning. We are stupid, and then we are not. The pre-learning state is stupidity. A scientist might work 10 years on solving a problem of math or logic or biology, or a lifetime, and until the problem is solved, she's stupid, and then she isn't. Brilliant, what we're doing here, which is all fine, actually. The problem comes with the emotion that we're supposed to feel when we're stupid, and that emotion is fear. we are supposed to be afraid of stupid, to get stupid over with as soon as we can. Change, of course, makes everyone feel stupid because change breaks all the old rules, inventing new ones, rules we don't know yet. And so the equation is obvious. Change equals stupid equals afraid. One way to avoid this is to avoid change, right? We all signed up to not do that by being here. One way to avoid this is to avoid freedom. The best way to avoid this is to embrace stupid and skip the last part. There is nothing to be afraid of, nothing except avoiding the feeling of stupid. And stupid is a good feeling. All right, that's our buddy nice. Seth Godin. Yeah, beautiful piece, man, for right where we're sitting right now, all this stuff.
Where did you find that quote?
Oh, my God, this is in a beautiful book. Did I bring it out with me? It's in a book. It's in a great book. I'll share it with you. It's Seth Godin. It's probably his latest one because I read everything he writes. Someone's going to find it before me, I know. Books. Beautiful design. It's just like a whole bunch of magazine layouts. It's called, here's all the books. Gosh, he has a lot of books, this guy. Doesn't stop writing. Huh. I don't actually see it listed in this whole list of his books. All right, I'll put it up for you. I think I left it in my bedroom where I was reading last night. But dang, guys. Yeah, so that's the bold, the stupid. Where does that leave us? You know, I would never feel stupid. I'd never feel bad if Robert pitched one of these security trade shows in such a bold way that they went, no, yeah, that's great. You did it. You know, you risked it all. Same thing with what Dorothy's putting out. She shared one page with me about a dozen divas, you know, bringing a dozen divas to your event for the price of one airfare. You know, that's good, bold stuff. It paints a picture, you know, with all these great dressed up characters on the top of the squeeze page. I love that. Let's get challenged enough to challenge people's perception of evoke their fear to say, gosh, what if?
Did that hey, all Barry, time. Can I ask a question? I'm working on that page, by the way. It got more complicated than I thought. But are people using landing pages now in lieu of websites? Is that basically the trend? Or is it just to send to a client?
Well, we can have landing pages that are unpublished pages on a website.
Right. You
know, no problem, which is what you'll do with yours. So it'll be yes. at your website, but just not part of the navigation structure. So a landing page just refers to something where we're sending somebody.
But I've seen that people are now doing these one page, and I saw some of the people in this program doing it, just like a one page, but very long, but only one page.
Yeah.
The tabs.
Yep, I do them all the time. They're done in marketing. They're done when we want to not let people go, oh, what's this navigation bar? What's okay. this sidebar? You know, it's one focus. It's a take this action or get out of here. It's more of that thing. So,
Could you say that again? You have you can have a landing page that isn't live on the website?
Right, so it's live yes. on the website, but it's not part of your navigation. In other words, it's not under your About Us or programs or shows. Yeah.
Right, so it might have a specific address like www.colincampbell.index/hardware-marketing or whatever. So it's got its own specific URL
to it.
So yep. when you send someone the link, it goes right to that page. But that page is not, like no one else could find that page unless you had sent them the link specifically to it.
Totally. And two things that'll do. If you can put a nofollow on it, which is an advanced SEO technique, which I can follow up anyone wants, but every WordPress site will have a nofollow button. You can so the search engines won't check it. Or you can do an event about hiring, and this is exactly what's coming up in week 5. My gosh, I recorded this interview 2 days ago with this guy. My head's still spinning. My partner for 30 Days Sugar Free. We did branding. We did lead generation, content creation, SEO, and... head was spinning what we did. Oh, in conversion. We did all these four topics with Sam, all the stuff he's done for me and how to apply it to entertainers. And that's in week 5's module. But boy, it's so powerful to have these pages that are sitting on your website, articles, but they're not part of your navigation because it's not what you want. But with keyword, with very tight keyword research, I mean, I look at someone like Danny who's got all these trade show clients around the world, all this experience to write. I don't even want to blow what Sam's talking about, but you know, four ways to blow your trade show guaranteed. You know, just little articles like this that are on your website can show up because you target specific keywords, cities, fears that they have. you know, what we have. And my gosh, those things start getting ranked for those keywords. Kind of amazing. And they're not even part of your official website because they're not in the navigation. So same thing, Bay Area birthday parties. You know, you want to do things like that. Things people are Googling, those long tail keywords, writing articles about those that make big promises right in the title. Anyway, Sam goes into that so deeply in week five. You guys will burn through a pen or two writing down some ideas.
How important would you say blogging is for a website?
Yeah. It used to be big. You know, the thing about blogging, and I do it for 30 days sugar free, I just always pick a keyword that I know people are looking. I look at what's trending in health. So I'll just write the whole blog post around that keyword.
Good idea.
You know, it's really important. You know, random thoughts of here I'm in Minnesota, they got great donuts in the lodge and the best Starbucks I ever had. You know, that's ego blogging. It's a fine probably for building a following, you know, and you may build a hell of a following that way, but for search engine candy, not so much.
Barry, I have a question while we're on this subject.
Yeah, hey.
At the end of module four, you said, you mentioned something about one market, one website, or one market per website. Could you accomplish the same thing with these landing pages, have a website and have specific markets that are unpublished that you send people directly to?
Definitely. Like for that kind of thing, Tom, I would say, you know, great to have a generic CVI. You could do a customized video introduction without it being for a specific theater, library, corporate client. You could have one just for libraries. You know, you could have one for theaters, regional theaters. Mm-hmm. It would give them the idea, but it's not exactly branded for them. Then take that use that for SEO, use that for the long tail keywords people are looking. Have 50 of them if there's 50 keywords people are looking for. And then when you start to have a connection with one, you make a call, make connection, just open up that one page, put their logo at the top and send them that dedicated page.
Hmm.
You don't even have to do anything else but add their name to it. And the URL will say, you know, Boston Library or whatever.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Really good way to do that. A CVI is customized video introduction. That's the
okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. No problem. Yeah. Let's see if anyone else wrote. Okay. Good. Good. So, yeah, one market, one website's, you know, a really good thing. And it's really, you know, and within market, I can look at one client based. You know, I can look at corporate clients. You know, as possibly doing award ceremonies, general session kickoffs, conferences, sales meetings. It's the same people in there.
Right.
They may be doing different things.
So I have an example of a huge missed opportunity and a lesson learned from this weekend.
Oh, let's bring it up live.
That I'd like to share with people. This weekend, if you didn't know, was the huge worldwide March for Science.
Science.
Right. And we had a big to-do here in Albuquerque, which I went down to. And on my way down there, I thought, oh, my God, why am I not part of this? And I got there, and there was, you know, probably 8 or 10,000 scientists, people who appreciate scientists, politicians, people who are worried about the politics right now and what's happening to science research. And I thought, I should be up there on stage inspiring people to support science. And I could be doing it as Einstein. And
oh, man, Tom, yeah.
I would be in front of a whole potential world of people. And I thought, well, lesson learned. I'll keep my eyes and ears opened a lot more clearly now.
Hey, Tom, this coming weekend, Saturday, April 29th, is the Climate Change March, which is also an effort to get a global march, hundreds of marches around the world, millions of people. So there's your follow-up chance. I mean, this weekend, start reaching out. I'm sure there's one happening in Albuquerque.
Awesome. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, really that's Saturday. Good.
Yeah, that's funny how these missed opportunities will come and poke us. I mean, I was very involved. I didn't go to one, but just looking at all these science things that was buzzing around. And, you know, I'm guilty as charged, too. I rotate my brain so much around you guys all month, and I didn't make that connection. And I have this feel, or I'm telling myself, at least if I saw you every week on these calls, I would have said, oh, let's do this for Tom. And you know, where it's at, it doesn't matter. But I also don't think it's too late if you find yourself with the makeup on to get a video out into the news. I mean, just to get a video out into the feed right now with a big headline, Einstein's look the week after science, what was it? It's called Science Day or?
March for Science.
Yeah. Einstein's take on March for Science. I mean, I don't think it's too late, and especially not for an exercise if you have a little time.
Okay. Thank you.
I have another idea for Tom.
Ideas for Tom.
Yes, if you're willing to travel and you're willing to even go to Sweden, every year it's the Nobel Prize Award night and they have entertainment. I mean, granted, that's high up. That's, even if it's themed for you, it's probably not low-hanging fruit because they are very picky. But I think you will be perfect for it. And they have money.
Awesome.
Well, I will tell you the one thing, and Robert brings that up, and to me, it's not out of the reach. It's not anything, but it's the kind of thing you should definitely aim for getting a hell yes or a hell no from, Tom.
I would also say you should start building anticipation now for the next year. Like you're didn't get the gig funnel.
Yeah. Is that March for Science an annual thing? It was the first I heard, or
Yeah, it was the first one, and hopefully it'll be an annual thing.
Because of Mr. Trump, I'm sure.
Well, it's a worldwide concern.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, it was his pushback on science and everything.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Dude, it's causing a lot of different economy things to happen. It's interesting. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Great ideas. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So Danny said, could I explain where the sales funnel, the customized one sheet? So that's the CVI, the landing page. That's step five. That's the final. That's where we have the video for them, where we have a recap of kind of what we talked about, possible solutions that we're suggesting for their event, an answer for their event, and a pricing and everything else, follow-up information. It's step five. That's the big piece of the sales funnel. Well, I think you're muted, Danny. I can unmute you. Yep. Oh, I think I just muted you when you unmuted. There you go.
So that's after the phone call, after we speak to them?
Yep, that's after everything, yeah. Yeah, I hope those five steps in there were real clear. If not, let me...
So is it before we quote a price?
Sometimes it's where the price comes up for me. Quite often, a lot of my CVIs have the price just as a line item down on the note underneath the...
By a note, you mean as part of the email?
No, it's actually on the copy that's on the landing page itself underneath. I don't know if I showed one of those where it said appearance fee for this event is.
So in that appearance fee, do you just put an appearance fee plus expenses?
Yep.
And do you itemize what those expenses are?
No, I just rider it. I just usually put a link to the rider in there.
And the rider has the itemized expenses, so hotel, airfare, ground transportation, per diem.
Yep. Yeah, my rider has all that. That's stuff I really don't like to have part of the conversation while I'm building the opportunity and the dream that I'm trying to put to them. That's just, that nuts and bolts stuff that's way out. Who sent a CVI this week? They made one and I put it up and I made some comments on it. Why am I blanking on it? If you're here, step up. Oh, you know what? This was in an alumni group. This guy wrote, finally, after 2 years or a year, 2 years or whatever, he wrote, I made one and he put it up. And I went on and I just was freaking celebrating the guy. I didn't know what he was waiting for. He sent it to a client. They loved it. And I begged him next time. He spent probably about 50% of the video going through package A and package B and the details of it. And it was too much. You know, that should just be a line item in the text below. You know, the video we make, the CVI, the entire sales funnel is only about painting the opportunity for that person. And, you know, let them fall so in love with it that the details don't matter, the per diem, whatever. It may come to matter, but hopefully the research you've done up to that point lets you know you're in close match.
Do you feel when there's traveling involved, have you ever... I've been going back and forth on whether it's better to quote a client with expenses or without expenses. Just give them one price. And it's obviously it's a bigger number, but just say, I'm just going to keep this simple. All my airfare and my hotel and all other expenses are included in this price.
Right.
I mean, the price now is a bigger number. So their first reaction might be,
Hey, Danny, might I chime in on?
Jump in, please, Jeff. Yeah, you go.
Usually the clients I deal with just want to know. I just want it all. I just want it all in. Just give me it all in. How much is it going to cost me? Yeah. So I just have to factor all of that. So
yeah, and you're doing it for five people.
Especially if you just want it to be just a line item, kind of a non-issue.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
Yep.
And I tend to think too, you know, once you're going after the higher end clients, they're used to all inclusive things. You know, like if they're here in Colorado and going to the fancy lodge at Beaver Creek, you know, they don't say, oh, well, how much is my coffee going to cost in the morning? Oh, plus my breakfast, plus, no. It's like, I just slapped down $20,000 for a weekend at Beaver Creek. Everything's included, you know? So it's like a more elegant, streamlined way to deal with it that I think that clientele, you know, as you pitch higher, is more accustomed to and will feel more familiar to them.
Yeah. So yeah, you get that pushback. I was wanting to share something from my writer. I really don't make a big deal out of it though, but two round trip airfares, or I say a $1,500 air buyout, private ground. I mean, this is just A, B, and C just kind of handles, or A, B, C, and D handles the heavy listing. This is a great thing put on, man. Have people meet you in the lobby. Don't wait in line for the key. It's part of the branding issue, you know, that I don't want to stand in line and wait.
It's that star quality thing.
It's great. It tells them what you want, though. It's great. It's just like, I'll share this on the group, you know, just, and you guys do anything you want from this thing, but yep. Okay. But you know, it's funny. There were always certain cities like Las Vegas. I knew the flights. I knew the whole thing. So I would just have a Las Vegas show price.
But don't you guys have an airplane and you fly yourselves?
I used to. Yeah. I did fly in a small Cessna. It's not what you'd imagine, but a Cessna 152. I took Dan and I from LA to a couple of gigs in Vegas, but that was more fun for me. So yeah. And Dan was like, get me out of this VW. It was horrible. It's loud and it's slow, but it was fun. Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yeah, jump in. Let's.
Hi, David. So we've been talking about what to say to the proper contact person, but a lot of times it's not evident from even research on the website who the proper contact person right. is. So when we go in cold to calling in, what's the best approach for trying to figure out who that person is without being salesy?
Right. So the first line, you know, that I'll ask the gatekeeper is, maybe you can help me out. Get them to say, yeah, what can I do? Who is it in your company that's most concerned with? And then I hit the core conflict. And that's really all I do. And you're going to get a feel from them. And if you do it slow, control the pacing of the conversation. I mean, there's already someone who reported. Didn't somebody report in this group, or was it the alumni group, that somebody did that and got passed on to the right person? And they were so surprised. Gosh, too many groups I'm following. But yeah, it was either in this one or the alumni, but someone was like, oh my gosh, I thought it was in our group.
I had a gatekeeper kind of light up a little bit when I mentioned the core conflict for the person, but then found out that they don't do fun things at their annual meetings.
That's not a problem. I just want to share a few ideas. I wonder if you'd be open to a few ideas.
Oh my God. Dude, it's like channeling. It's like, that's exactly when they say that. That's not a problem, but would you be open to seeing a couple of ideas that you may not have considered for your event?
Which is exactly what their follow-up email said. So, yeah, because I didn't actually speak to her on the phone. I had to, we had to do it through email. But yeah, so we'll see. There's a...
Love it, David.
That was the bounce back, and we'll see what happens.
I've been at more events where they don't do fun things. It's or trade shows where they don't do any of that stuff because they just didn't have the picture painted. So
right.
Good for you, man. Very good. So that piece is good. Also, you know, jumping into LinkedIn, jumping into Twitter, looking into the company a bit, start finding out who a name is. I think it's in 2 weeks, in week seven, we have I'm redoing this module live because so much has changed in Twitter in the last year. I'm redoing the interview with Ted Promedo, who writes for Entrepreneur Press. He wrote the definitive book on LinkedIn. He's going to come on and talk to us live about LinkedIn because so much is changing there. There's a very powerful piece called LinkedIn Pulse now, and it may have been around for a little while, but I've just been tuning into it. And it's basically a blog that you don't have to post or anything, and the sharing is beautiful. It goes to your network, and it's something we're going to really lean into in this group, is using LinkedIn Pulse. Really nice. Nice thing I've just been discovering.
I can also add a quick story about not pitching on the phone. And that works wonders. I didn't pitch, and the guy kept waiting for the pitch. So in the end, when I said, well, it's possible I'm not a fit for you, I was going to say, but he started going, Wait, hold on a minute. Maybe not for maybe not for this thing, but we have this other thing. And he started pitching me on another event they had.
It is.
That's insane. That's so good. That's, I'm glad you had to take a breath after you said maybe I'm not a fit. Instead of still talking. Good for you.
And that was the slow thing you taught too, because otherwise I speak very fast.
Yeah.
So,
good for you.
Yeah, I'll just also report I had a great phone conversation that I really slowed myself down, did the very slow introduction, and really left a big breath of space. And it was awesome, you know, just to have that, you know, I'm wondering if you can help me out a little bit. Pause. Oh, yeah, absolutely. What can I do for you?
It's an amazing second.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Yeah, I'm gonna note
that. What happens when you get to the point where you've sort of gotten all the value you can, or you've given all the value you can to them, and then they want to know like what it is about your act? Is that when you start like telling them, or do you still kind of leave it open?
That's when I end the phone call, and or I don't end it quite yet, but I say I'm still trying to figure out if I'm a fit, and if not, if I know someone who is, because at that point they've at least shown some interest. So, you know, this overhanging veil I love to have when I'm talking to any client or any interview I'm doing is, I care more about this than you do. It's a really powerful position just to hold in these conversations. So you wouldn't jump if you did care about it more into the price or more into the logistics of it. You'd say, yeah, tell me more about it. What's worked in the past? Just keep having that conversation. And then when it is over, when you feel like you have enough, that's when I'll say, if they say, you know, how do we move forward? What's the price on this? How do we do this? Let me just take everything we've talked about, put it into a full proposal, and how about if it's in your inbox within 12 hours?
So is that when you tell them about your show, or if they're like, so what do you, you know, like, so what's your show about? When they ask you that question, do you kind of bring it back to like, well, what
I bring
do you-
it back. I bring it back to the benefits they want. I make sure your audience says this. I really stay away. I'm looking around the page here to see any other jugglers, but I avoid that word, you know, as if it's herpes. It's a name tag on the shirt that nobody needs at this point in the conversation. Right. So, yeah, can I say we're 4-time world juggling champions and we use some of that in doing what you want done for an audience? Definitely. But a lot of times, the first time someone will see my reel is on the CDI page. See us in action. So,
yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're just continuing to bring it back to what are your needs? What I do is I meet your needs.
Yeah.
As opposed to what I do a really creative juggling show about, you know, customer or whatever. It's like, no. Let me hear more about your needs. Oh, what I do is I do a show that gets your audience excited. I do a show that drives sales or whatever.
Right. And then,
right. That's what you're saying.
And Sven, I also add on the end, whether I say it out loud or not, I'm always thinking so that.
Right.
And that so that always leads to them getting their core conflict met. So
right,
that,
exactly. So you guys can have more sales, so that you guys can have a better experience at your trade show, so that you guys can have a fun time at your party, so that. And you've got that. Yep.
Always. Yeah. That's the underlying. So, cool. Yeah, you know, you know, what would be a great experience. All of us, like within the next 2 weeks, go into a Lexus dealership, go into a Jet, you know, whatever you live near, and just freaking pretend you want to buy a car. You will see exactly what I'm talking about as far as looking for what the person actually wants. None of those conversations will be about the car. None of them will be about the price. It doesn't come up. All of it is about them finding out about what you really want in your life. What do you want to feel? You know, who do you hang out with? You know, where did you first see this car? It's storytelling. And boy, the more that we can bring in, the better. Hey, Jim, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, my friends. Of course, I had it on my calendar for 2:30.
Oh, nice. Well, you're only 4 minutes late then. That's nothing.
All right.
Cool. Good. So, yeah, that would be a great experience if you find yourself near one of those luxury car dealers. Man, I'm gonna take that challenge as well. Of course, I live up here in the hills where I don't have that yet.
It's all pickup trucks.
I'm going places, though. Now, we have a lot of Tesla Model Xs here. There's a lot of money in pot selling. So, yeah. Which is what a lot of my community does, sadly, but that's where it is. But yeah.
Barry, I have a question. How fits the PDF in the big picture of the sales funnel? So now you said you have the first conversation with them and just get to understand what they need, and then you wrap it basically up and send them a proposal. But you also have this PDF, which we had to create, bless you, and where does it fit in?
Right, in
this place.
Yep. So that's, you know, after the conversation, we will have and some of you guys have posted some of these graphics in our group, and there's been some amazing ones done over the years, which are, maybe I can grab screenshots from the alumni group, but you guys are doing great on them too. I don't even want to litter that with what other people are doing. That's that PDF. And we do that right after the call. And it's just kind of continuing the idea of, I'm thinking about you. Here's some options. Here's a little bit of research. Here's an actual statistic of how entertainment improves this, how it does moods, how engagement goes up, whatever the statistic is you want to find. And then on there, we just say another time that we're going to telephone call them, that we're going to get back into a conversation.
So it's not the big step. It's just a little bit of information just to give them something, to show them your interest and so on and so on.
Yeah. Well, it's to show them that we're still thinking about them, Renee. It's not, it's very natural. If you think about a relationship that's at an equal status, it's what you would do in an equal status. Too often we're in the position where we hold the client up here and us down here. So we're like going, hey, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And it feels salesy. So what we're doing in this place is we're leveling it. We're saying, hey, here's a couple ideas I had about how, you know, we could connect this brand. I mean, Chris did one. Chris had his son do one, right? That just kind of said, here's an old client. Here's a client I worked for. And here's a cool stat about, and they've already experienced it from you, which is kind of cool. And then here's a call to action. I'm going to give you a call back and let's talk about an event you have coming up. And yeah, you got to get back on the phone with those guys. Let's get to the Renee's thing here. Let's get this clear. Yeah.
What is it? Renee? Me, Renee?
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is, so I sent them the email, but the next step would be another call. That makes me confused a little bit, you know? When I was reading, it was like you have the initial call, then you send the PDF, and then you send have another call. You schedule another call. So it's I don't really get why you don't do it in one step in the call, and why you send the PDF and schedule in the PDF the next call. So why do you?
So, right. You know, Renee and I are in the accountability group, and we were talking about this yesterday at length, and we were very confused on when you say what, when you send an email, when you do the call, when you send the PDF file, which I think when he's referring to that, he means the one sheet referring to. And, you know, so that was our confusion in terms of the sales funnel. So maybe you can clarify that.
Good. I'm glad you guys talked about that.
Yeah.
Yep. Let me blow it out a little bit. I mean, the research piece, the step one, we do a little bit of finding out about what's going on, right? Did you guys find this page? Did you guys see the page where I blew it out? Let me see if I'm sharing this page. Share screen to this doc. I mean, have you guys found this page?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, good. So down here at the bottom, I do kind of do a summary of it. And this is really literally the research, kind of the digging in and saying, hey, here's a possible match. Let me do this. Then we do that phone call. Then we just reach in and we just do exactly what we've been talking about. The core conflict we have figured out. We have something we suggest, maybe an idea. Then we just do this follow-up email. Great to talk to you. Here's kind of just a little idea. I've thought about it for a couple of days. I'd love to get on the phone with you and just talk about your event a little bit more, find out what you want. Two things we're doing there. We're showing that we're trustworthy, that we're staying in touch with them. And the second thing we're doing is they know this thing's rolling around in our head. And then the third thing is, this guy's kind of giving me a lot of time and attention. So it's not just everything at once on that one phone call. Like, you know, I don't want to ever have us pretend like we have this person on the phone and we have to dump our entire brain to them. We would never do that to a friend. So,
for me, it's a little bit helpful here to think about dating, you know, as an analogy. You would never walk up to a person on the street you're attracted to, try and get their phone number, then try and immediately take them to the cafe, then reach your hand, you know, up their shirt or into their car or whatever. It's like, whoa.
No.
You gotta build the relationship and build the trust before you stick your tongue down their throat.
And I almost feel like every one of us has a joke for that, but I don't know if anyone wants to jump in with it. But no, that's fine. But I know this group. We can we all. But yeah, you know, it's a great analogy, Finn. I mean, my gosh, it's
right, because multiple steps gives them a chance to catch up and actually build a relationship foundation.
It's also really difficult to assume that when someone picks up the phone, when we're lucky enough to get them on the phone, have that conversation, even a minute, 90 seconds to get permission, that they're going to be in a place to unpack this, what we're even talking about. So it is, it's a continuity. It's showing some trust. It's showing that we're connected to them, that we have some professionalism in this, that we're not desperate to get every single word we have about this out at once. So, you know, I'd say trust it. And if you start feeling a part of it that's really weird for you, Renee, Danny, anyone, just let me know about that. And let's talk through the feeling of what's coming up for you, you know, what you're actually experiencing. And let's talk about some other ideas for doing it.
Yeah, and just like learning any physical skill, like all of us jugglers know, there's assimilation time. You train something and then you walk away from it. And when you're not doing it, it is percolating the brain. And so someone you've just shared a completely mind-blowing new concept with, it's got to digest in their brain for a while. So then you come back to them and now they've caught up to you. There's got to be that assimilation time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to quickly clarify, because I understood it before, like at the first call, I say, I will send you a bit of information and then we will call each other again at this time. But if I understand right now, the email is apparently an afterthought that you send between the first and the second call. You don't tell them you're going to send an email, but you send it anyway.
Well, no, in the first call I say, is there a good address and can I email you a couple ideas?
All right, well then I understood it right from the first time. Wonderful.
Yeah, then I just send them that little graphic and I say, I've been thinking about your idea. Here's, you know, I just had this thought about a routine I want to do. And then I say, can we jump on? And that's when I get a little, let them talk a little bit more because they've had a little time to think about it. So, and I tell you, I swear with the right clients, this works. With the wrong ones, nothing's going to work. So,
great.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Does anybody ever push you on what you do when you say, you know, it's about you? Because we always think we have to jump on there and tell them exactly what we do. The idea of not doing that is very weird.
Good. Yeah, weird is good. It's you know, it's funny, and it's almost a really a form of you controlling the conversation, the branding. We don't hide from it, but we really always tie what we do back, which is just, that's the engine under the car. That's another thing they'll never talk about at the Lexus or Jaguar dealer, you know, unless you ask, hey, can we look at the engine? Or they may pop it up and just say it's a thing of beauty. They're not talking about how it works. The cylinders and the rods, that doesn't come into the equation, that's the equivalent of what we do. It's the cylinder and the rods. So yeah.
I think this does.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that that part of it was really useful to me because when people come to our show, like we have a show that we do in a theater for a long run. And when I invite friends and family or people that don't know me well to come and see the show, you know, I tell them it's a comedy juggling knife throwing show. And then once they're at the show, sometime during the intermission, they'll come up to me like, oh my God, this is actually good.
Ah!
And so, you know, their expectation is that a juggling show just isn't very good. And so getting to all that other stuff first, you said you don't want to hide from it, but at the same time, sometimes your image has the image of, for us, a juggling team has a certain image that goes with it that,
totally,
is mediocre entertainment or not very good or whatever. So for me, this is really useful because I think in the past I would have just led with, we're a comedy juggling knife throwing show. And now it's like, well, we're a show that can help solve a lot of your problems.
Oh my God.
Same thing with magic. People have an image of it's all about kids. They think, why, you know, there's no kids in my event. I've actually had people say that to me. When I contacted for a corporate event, there's no children or anything like that. No, it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So that's great to be able to, we just have to change our mindset that, you know, what we do, whether it's juggling, magic, that's only the vehicle. It's all about them. I like the idea of it. It sounds really good.
And also part of when you're holding back a little bit on that part of the conversation, when they're saying, well, tell me what you do. And you're saying, oh, well, what I do is I get audiences really engaged. I get people really excited. I get, you know, whatever. And they're like, no, 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 what's your show? By holding back that information, you're making them come to you, right? Instead of you going, look, I've got all this stuff to offer, please hire me, please. You know, instead of that desperate, like, please hire me because I've got all these great skills, you're saying, I can take care of you. Well, how? You're getting them to step towards you in terms of the balance of the conversation. They're coming to you. They're pursuing you. So you've already set the dynamic of, I have something you want. You're going to come to me to get it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, I have something I need you to have, and I'm going to pursue you so that hopefully you buy it from me. I don't know. You're going to pursue
me. I like
me,
that mindset.
You know, because it's get that classic really line from last week of, you don't ask what my price is. You ask if I'm available.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you can get me. I have what you need. You're pursuing me.
That's the truth, man. Jeff, you were going to say something. Jump in, Jeff.
This is kind of a two-parter then with that. I mean, from one aspect, as an agent who represents a bunch of different acts, I can totally see that approach, you know, everything that we're talking about when approaching a corporate client, because I have options, you know. But if what you do is really specific, like I work with a lot of tribute bands, you know, so if you're a KISS tribute band and you're going to go on stage and if you, you know, you either like that band or you don't like that band. I mean, there's no real hiding what you do. It's like, at that point, it's like, you're a Beatles tribute band. You're a Led Zeppelin band. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, and the other thing, getting to that, to the thing about this in this last module about branding, it's kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're a Metallica cover band, you're not going to have, you know, rainbows and unicorns. And
yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. So, that's right.
But again,
it's kind of what I'm getting at. If what you do is really, really specific, and it's kind of like there's no real way to, and a client that seeks you out or vice versa, they're going to already know that.
Yep.
You're there into that demographic. That's, you know. Anyway.
But part of what we're also dealing with is most of these clients have never conceived of any of these things at their event.
Right.
In their mind, if I just said I do X, Y, Z, I'm automatically not a fit. So when I'm coming back to them, it's that question that Barry is. It's so great. I'm still trying to figure out if we're a fit. Let me hear a little bit more about what you need. Because it might actually, they might not automatically think, oh yeah, Metallica would be awesome. But they might be thinking, God, I sure as hell wish I could wake up this fucking sleepy Christmas party.
Yeah.
Well, Metallica might be exactly a fit.
Yeah,
so again, it's,
as an agent, I can do that. You know, I can say,
but even for any one of us, just bring it back to, I'm still trying to figure out if we're a fit. Tell me a bit more. And also knowing it's totally fine if it's not a fit.
Yeah.
But I want to decide if we're a fit. I don't want them to decide if we're a fit because already decided. Their entire life experience tells them that they do not want a juggler at their high-end corporate event.
Yeah.
I need to control the conversation until I dictate to them, yes, we're a fit because I can meet your needs, not because I'm a juggler.
God,
I can meet your needs, therefore I'm a fit.
Awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And if we're not a fit, great, let me refer you and I'm going to move on to the umpteen billion other clients who might be a fit.
There you go.
So no loss.
Thank you. Thank you.
But it's, you know, that control of the conversation. And this is something, not that I've done this, but it's one of the things I'm really trying to just absorb here.
We have to bring it in. We have to bring it into our even psyche and realization. Yeah, and exactly. Man, you're going to be freaking brilliant. I want a recording of your call. It's just be fearless about it. Did you have something else to add, Jeff, about that?
No. Just thank you for that feedback. That's a good way of looking at it, especially if what you do is very specific and there shouldn't be any question as to what, you know. So, yeah, I think that's a great way to approach it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you're playing a game of poker, like showing your whole hand before the rest of the, like before the river comes out.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Oof.
You don't need the highest hand to win.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't think that happens very often either. I think the lower hand smarter players win a lot of the time.
Yeah,
that's right. Why I don't play poker. That's good. Yeah, sometimes you watch these guys on TV and you know, we at home, we can see the cars and you're like, God, who has ice water like that running through their veins? It's insane. Yeah, pretty cool stuff to see. Yeah. Good. All right, where are we at? We're summarizing some sales funnel stuff, which is great stuff, a big piece of that lesson. And I love that lesson came along with the branding, you know, just the idea, because I think it's all part and partial to how we want to show up to our prospects, to the market. So,
hey, Barry, can I ask you about branding?
Yeah, please.
What did you and Dan do as a Raspinis? Like, what would you say was your brand, your recurring theme? Like, so I can get a sense of, you know, where to go with ours.
Yeah. That's in the homework one of these days, if not today.
Yeah.
Was it in today's homework?
Part of it was, certainly.
Yeah.
I go gradually getting into it.
Yeah, I go in depth into what the Raspinis always held as their branding and how we tried to operate. So I think you'll see that. And if you do that, let me know if you have some follow-up on that. But, you know, plus I know we're going to do some private time together, and I'm gonna bang your guys' head hard. It's going to be when we can schedule some time for all three.
We want to be you guys.
Want to be the Raspinis?
No, you don't.
You got the haircut. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the other guy.
I shaved my head just before we started this. So.
That's awesome. That was a good call.
But really, I think that's a really key point. Like, none of us want to be the Raspinis, hopefully. The point is not to be the Raspinis. The point is I've got to be the best version of myself. And trust, again, there are literally a billion possible prospects out there for me. There are more clients than I can possibly serve. Never. If I'm doing 20 gigs a day, I will never get through all of them. And never. So don't be the Raspinis. Be yourself. Make sure your branding matches who you are, colors, costume looks, whatever, and trust that the people who are like, oh my God, that costume's so cool. Oh my God, that color's so cool. Those are your clients. You don't want the Raspinis clients. You want your clients.
And I know for a fact, Mick was joking. So I got the joke.
Yeah, all right.
We got the joke. It's awesome. But yeah, I totally hear you, man. And it's on fire. It's that authentic part. So all the homework this week will lead you to that at the end. Did you guys happen to see in the Facebook group about an hour or two ago, hour before we started this, I'd shared, like, I don't know, half a dozen alumni that I thought really went from zero to a cohesive brand. I'll run through a handful of those on a screen share because it would be great to talk about some of these. Set up a share here.
Nick, did you shave your head to be a Raspini?
Yeah.
No, not really.
This nice, beautiful, full head of hair. Howie Mandel did. I will always contend to that, man. The guy is the greatest.
Oh, yeah.
And those 6 years of touring with him, we toured with him as an opening act. You know, lots of private time on the private Learjet and hotel rooms and amusement parks. And damn, as soon as we stopped, dude shaved his head, and I just could not believe it. Greatest head of hair. Beautiful head of hair.
A little further down, Barry. You're almost there.
Further down? Thanks so much. I'm
The other way.
Yeah, perfect. Here we go. I think it's in some of these. Did I share it here? Yeah, here. I think I shared just a handful of, where did I do this? Yeah. These are a handful of people who went from having zero branding to what I considered a cohesive brand that they can represent themselves in the market. Faith had no website. You know, she was just, didn't know who she wanted to talk to. She figured out that she, right now, I just had a little talk with her this morning, though, Chad. It's the 100th anniversary of Ella Fitzgerald, and she's setting up a national tour to tour all over Canada. And she's up in Toronto. Someone here's in Toronto, right? Isn't someone in our group in Toronto? No? Okay. Maybe they're not on the call. But yeah, she went from zero to,
maybe,
you know.
Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick is, right. Patrick
is.
Yeah. They should definitely talk. I mean, they're up there doing this stuff.
You click on the more above Faith Armour.
Is that what it is? Thanks for showing me how to use Facebook. I'm an idiot. All right. Thank you so much. There we go. Yeah. Orlando, this is Nathan Comarche. He had a little website that just showed him with a bad picture, developed a cohesive brand, did really some deep work around the branding exercises, you know, and came up with some smart branding that really figured out the clients he wants, what they like, showing diamond rings on his smiling, you know, women who make who look like they're in a certain social status. You know, the testimonials, he did everything down to the splash frames on his video that really show who he wants to do. You know, communication, like none of this is accidental for his thing right now. Really tied into the branding. Even the domain, he didn't have this at the beginning, Orlando Corporate Magician, you know, went into that.
Nice guy, by the way.
Totally cool guy. Yeah. Really nice guy. Fred Becker, you know, spent his entire life on cruise ships. Still on ships because he's you know, very well paid and has an easy reputation on those. But, you know, joined Ship as Blueprint a few years ago to jump into the corporate stuff and, you know, really decided who they were as a corporate act. And then really wanting to specialize in Dallas. He's got some kids, so I think one of his websites is all about Dallas. Yeah, he's branding this. He doesn't want to leave. There's, you know, enough meetings there a year to market to and get in front of. So yeah, these are just some examples of people who I think have really jumped into the idea of branding and figured out who they were. This was Michael Carducci, the guy who wrote Mago Talent. He was doing no web presence to speak of, certainly nothing that spoke to the exact people he wants. These are his people. These are who he wants. He wants to do groups of of 20 people at very high-end events where this picture may blow it out of the water, but you know where he's at with people who are having special close memories with other people at corporate events. You know, he's got the colors that matches the way he wants to look, the font he found, you know, that makes his thing together, finding reviews from people. So, you know, I will just contend that absolutely none of this has to happen. I wrote in this post, none of this is going to happen from Monday to Tuesday. I think I was using Tui's example as comic stunt juggler on Monday and inspirational audience and engagement expert on Tuesday. It's not going to happen that way. But what small pieces of it can we grab? Jen Slaw, didn't know. I mean, I'll never forget Jen Slaw's webpage, her website when she first started Shibbets Blueprint. It was a picture of her with some bunny ears on at a party juggling something, and it was obviously a cheesy kind of walk-around gig. And, you know, she decided she wanted to speak about work-life balance and this kind of thing. So, boy, she dug so hard into branding, really, really dug hard into the branding exercises, started to do appearances, trade shows, talks for clients so she could grab these logos, you know, the kind of people that she wants. Got clear on the look, you know, made a video that by all accounts is just perfect for the brand, who she wants to be. Just run this in the background without audio here. You know, just tells who she's doing and then shoots to examples of it happening live on stage. You know, all this, and this, if she told somebody, I have it on Barry hyperspeed there, sorry. If she told somebody that she wants to come to a meeting and juggle and show people how to balance feathers, you know, she's dressed great, knows the part, the whole thing, the audience is locked up, testimonials are there. So all this stuff happens in steps, you guys. So why teamwork? A little talk on teamwork and then cut to live footage of teamwork actually happening. Really powerful template. If you told people, you know, just to go back to what Sven was saying, you know, if we told people, you're going to have five guys in ties standing around throwing balls to each other, lame as hell. But to see it in a video and hear her talk about the importance of the teamwork and then also read a testimonial of it, she's done the work, connected all the dots for people. Look at this big major, oh, shoot, I'm sorry, big major ballroom that's happening in, though. I think we're around here.
Where do these people, have they told you where they outsource for these like websites and videos, or do they do it on their own?
Yeah, I know at this one, Jen bought a handful of these little GoPro, FoPro cameras and just set them up around her room when she does a workshop. She has them all over the room.
And then for the websites, do they outsource for that? Or
to get like this website made?
Yeah, okay.
She didn't have any, this wasn't her thing. She didn't pay that much for this website. All these websites are under four digits. It's ridiculous to be spending our time on this if we don't do it. And this is a template that she can come in and change now that she wants. So, but yeah, so, you know, a real nice example of someone who went from zero to hero during Shubha's Blueprint time. Oh, Faith, I showed. Oh, I did show her above. Oh, and this is Jason. I'm actually meeting Jason next week. I tell you, you guys ever perform in Northern California, it's one of my great joys to meet you and hang in. Jason lives in Nashville, but he's coming to do a big show up in about 2 hours from here. So he's coming a day early and we're going to hang out and mastermind all day. But Jason, oh my God, he had no website, no brand, no, you know, real vision of where he was.
Card shark. Love it. Ooh.
Just completely embraced, this is who I am. I mean, has done two TED Talks now since he got clear on his brand. He's had his own theater show in Florida, you know, getting his message on TV. You know, oh my God, just to see the change that happened to this dude during the 10 weeks. And then, yeah, it's been a couple of years since he's been in Showbiz Blueprint. Once again, none of this came, but it all just started sinking into his head. So this is a theater show he was able to book in Florida last summer. He had his own resident show for six weeks. So, yeah, but, you know, just getting real clear on the branding. And then through a lot of freaking coaching, and he did something that I can share with you now. When we were working on it, it was private, you know, it was confidential. I wouldn't have ever shared it, but it's his message right now. This dude suffered so hard with Tourette's syndrome his entire early life. Badass Tourette's syndrome, locking himself in the room type Tourette's syndrome. He was way overweight too. Look at this shot, man. The guy's looking great now. You know, So getting clean and the Tourette stuff is now, this is this talk you do. You can do the impossible too, but he's out talking about it. And he did a TEDx talk about his Tourette syndrome. And he did used the analogy of a straitjacket getting out of it, of feeling locked up in a cage. And, you know, biggest response TEDx talk of that day. So
great stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff. I want to show you guys some examples of what happens with branding and when we get out of our head. And of course it ties so in so well with the Seth Godin quote from the beginning, you know, about it. Yeah, it feels stupid, you know, either why didn't I do this, or I can't do this, or it's too much for me, but little tiny steps leads you all over. Oh, and I wanted to share, I shared this one more actually. This is hilarious because this is a great gal. I love her. She came to show this blueprint with, you know, this exact website, you know, this exact CD, but she was doing her heart performances in little weird places. And I climbed all over during the branding. She just locked up, never changed anything. I just went and looked today to say, oh, I wonder what Martha's doing. I do know because she stays in touch in our group and writes me an email. I'm in Berkeley at Zellerbach Hall at some big, I mean, she's doing huge shows, but she's never embraced it. So you can do the stuff from the program. You know, as I said, you don't have to do it, but it leads me to wonder if she had spent $1,000 on getting this turned into, you know, the inspirational heart person of the world, what would happen? So, I'm proud of what she did, but really, really cool what she has done too with just the rest of the content for the program. So, all right, cool. That's a big hour. I don't know what else is coming up for people. Let me see what else I have.
I would chime in and want to remind us, you, to the post-sale funnel. I'm still not knowing what to do because the funnel, what you showed us, and it sounds very, very good, and it's about customization. You send them this PDF with all the questionnaire, and they answer all the questions, and this sounds everything very nice, but it's about, let me read it again. And that you want to translate this answers into comedy, and this is all stuff I'm not willing to do right now. So, but I like the idea. So I have a post-sale funnel, but it's just stating facts and things like this, so just to keep in touch with them. And but it's not something cool as you do. And what else? I mean, if you have ideas, or everyone, if you guys have ideas what to do instead, just to make them feel to you. You said something about there is buyer's remorse and to prevent it from happening or something like this.
Yeah.
What tools do I have? What could I use to actually do something like this and to make them feel comfortable and things like this without doing comedy customizing the show and doing the comedy.
Gotcha. I hear you. So, and you know, and it's funny, Renee, we looked at your website a week or two ago, you know, and you know, the brand you have, the image you have, which, hold on one second. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I heard a car and I don't live where cars come. So, you know, really what we want to do is, so let's look at these pieces here. And, you know, I hope this relates to other people too, who don't want to do comedy. You know, my brand was always comedy, to have it fun. Here's a comedy idea I have of how I'm going to do this thing. So this funnel, you know, number one, this is going to build anticipation and kill buyer's remorse. Those are the main function of this funnel. We want people just to kind of feel like, man, I'm glad I made this decision. And then the build anticipation, if you're not going to do it with comedy, doesn't matter. You know, can you do it with some kind of an illusion? Can you do it with a prediction? I mean, I know there's all these great prediction things that are done in the world. I don't know if you know any of those or do any of those in your act. But even right now, to just say, I'm going to predict the ATM, you know, the credit card number of one of your party's guests at your party. You know, whatever you can do to just build some anticipation, to let them know you're thinking about this thing. I didn't fill in the details here. Okay. I should do that. Oh, I didn't grab it from up here. Yeah. You know, and if your event's a private event, reach into what you learned about them during the sales process, you know, that it's going to be at this event, at this venue, or these people will be there. Just always look for ways to connect. And I don't know, you know, my brain is so wrapped around the customizing for the comedy piece, but there are always pieces you can do. I would really build anticipation into what someone's going to see at the event. Probably the biggest thing I can give you. I don't know if that really helps.
I immediately start thinking about, you know, think about movie marketing campaigns, or there's this guy who did a Red Bull sponsored stunt where he did the world's highest skydive from the very edge of space. And there was just this buildup, you know, for at least a month or more, there was buildup around that. I mean, I was in huge anticipation of like, this guy could die. It's going to be amazing, you know, whatever. So you're just thinking about, you know, and I love, Barry, your idea of the little recorded thing. You know, that's something they might play over the PA system at the workplace. They might send out a group email to all their employees or whatever. I'm like, hey, everyone, at the Christmas party coming up, check who we've got. You know, we've got Rene Chevalier. And then it's you coming on. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do this amazing show, you know, speaking German, whatever.
Yeah,
but
bring
it. All it has to be is a little 30-second recording with an image of you, or you doing a flourish to make the business card of the company appear. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm going to blow you guys away. I can't wait to see you all on December 23rd. You know, so anything really simple, but it just keeps you in their mind. And like you say, it builds that, oh yeah, we got that cool magic guy coming who's going to amaze us.
Yeah, and is there, you know, another, and I love that idea, Sven. I love the idea of just doing some magic on screen that's clean and simple for them. That thing will get shared, Renee, without a doubt. You know, you guys all know the magic thing, but I mean, I just think of what could happen. I don't know how it happened, but I mean, even just to have something, put it into an empty envelope and pull out, you know, the city, the venue, a picture of their event where it's happening. Just something to show that you're in touch, kill the buyer's remorse, to build the anticipation. So you can do that. It's funny when I see something like that, I see some of the advanced magicians on here ruling out ways it could be done, not thinking of ways it could be done, but actually just, you know, yeah, there's probably so many ways something simple like that could be done. So
I have to find too, one of the things that's really helpful for me, you know, with a background as a performer, is if I think of an email as a miniature performance, or if I think of a postcard as a performance, you know, or that graphic that we're creating, the PDF, how can I think of that? That is a start, middle, end performance. It's just captured in a flat, square visual space.
Totally.
But think of it like, you know how to build a show around a certain idea, build a graphic around, this is a performance that's going to be viewed in 25 seconds.
And no doubt about it, the customized video introduction, that 2.5 minute video, that is a performance. I mean, I stand up, I get my energy up, I do some push-ups, and then I just, boom, I just blast into it, one take.
Right. So,
yeah, that's a really good point, yeah.
I have a question on your customization and your questionnaire. I'm just curious, you guys, when you do that, is that sort of like plug and play with parts in your show? I mean, you've already got the whole whatever figured out base, you just stick in their answer.
Yep, the competitor name, the city, where they started, something the guy likes, you know, what makes a great day for them, like all those things are straight into jokes.
Okay.
And it's them writing the punchline for 12 setups for us.
Gotcha. And are those jokes that they've been part of one of the routines you're doing, do they sort of in between routines or?
No, they're just during the routines, or, you know, setups, part of the setup. You know, last time I was in Pittsburgh, you know, or whatever their city is, it's just, you know, whatever their company was started at, or, you know, this is their 70th anniversary. And it's like, or we did a company that was their 100th anniversary, and it was amazing. And, you know, so easy to just like, 100th anniversary, congratulations. What took you so long to get us? You know, we've been trying since so-and-so, you know, the founder's name is in there too. You know, we've been trying since Harry the First started this or whatever. So,
okay. So when you're custom, is that pretty much the extent of your customization of a show is those questions?
Yeah, except for any improvisational stuff that comes up. But that basis, and I tell you, man, in an hour show, those 12 jokes, they think we work there.
Right.
They really do.
Nice. And did you guys ever do, I mean, did you do corporate speaking per se, as opposed to just, you know, the entertainment with the customization?
I mean, we've done things where we included, we had a teamwork program we would do. We would do What was another name of our thing? It was, you know, for us, the best thing was ever teamwork. And it was never a dedicated speech that we were going to go to, you know, the way John and Owen have gone with the whole speakers, MPI. No, not MPI. Whatever the speaking world is, I'm spanking out.
Yeah. I mean, they don't really have NSA. Dedicated speech in their show either, though. As John told me once, basically we get up there and say teamwork good. And because we're in, we look like geniuses.
Yeah, and the difference is, I don't want all that on recording. I have a whole theory about why that works so well for them and not for us, but I don't want it on
recording.
Happy to share it one day. But yeah, that's good. And if anyone wanted a screenshot of that, I'll include that as well, but just in case anyone wanted a shot of Seth.
What book is it?
You know, I still didn't grab it.
Oh.
It's in my room. It's in my house, so I'll nab it. But yeah, okay, cool. I'll share that later. Good. Let me stop that. Right.
Barry, did you get the video I sent you?
Oh, let me see. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't look back at the notes here. Let me see.
I sent it to your Showbiz Blueprint email.
Oh, gotcha. I didn't. I was looking in the chat box there. No, I'm not seeing it, Danny. Checking that. Up there it is.
Is it a short video we talked yesterday about, Danny?
Yes. Yes. It's so finished. My wife and I did a trade show in France. We did a brand new illusion, really packs small and plays big. I did put a one sheet about it on the Facebook page about a week or two ago.
Yep.
With me, the one where I'm holding a red curtain up real high, and. We have a client that I think it'll be perfect for, but the client will not see me for a meeting. They're an internet company. They don't really have meetings, to plan trade shows where I could go in and actually do it. They just look at stuff online and make their decisions.
Perfect.
Emails and posts and PDF files. So
you'll do it. And you know what'll help? You know what'll help is if everyone in this group, and we should all do this, I will do this in a second, just uses their Twitter handle, your Twitter handle, and says, heard my friend Danny is going to be performing. And if you're comfortable with this, but I'll tell you, when they start seeing stuff like that with this video, with other people saying how cool it is, very powerful strategy. I've used it a number of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm kind of excited about this. What the problem we had was, it was a very small trade show. And, so I had to, in order to give a sense, and because of the way this was filmed, I did not have a professional videographer there. I gave it to one of the guys in the booth. I brought my camera, which is nothing special, to one of the guys in the booth. I said, video this. And like, first time he stood in the wrong place. The second, I mean, we had a lot of problems, as all of you know, making videos is a lot harder than it ends up looking when it's done. So the video guy said, well, give me video of other shows you've done where I've had professional video guys in there. So we only shot the video in France twice because it was the first time we'd done the illusion and I didn't want to be focusing on capturing the video when I really needed to make sure I was satisfied. But the second day we shot it three times. Only one of them was really usable. We also took a bunch of still photos with an iPhone, nothing special.
Let's take a quick peek at it.
Yeah, so that's the background on this, but look what the editor did on this. It's about 45 seconds.
See if we can hear it. Oh, sorry, I had the volume down.
And are you also playing in hyperspeed again, Barry?
Trade show booth? Corporate Magic has a special large-scale illusion that plays really big to help you elevate your presence at the convention. Danny begins by attracting trade show attendees. The crowd quickly grows as he incorporates your marketing message. Then he introduces Jan Rhodes, who shares the challenges your customers face every day. They perform a magic illusion on a larger scale that can be seen by more people. But best of all, Danny and Jan use the magic moment to communicate the benefits of your products. And you get the opportunity to display your brand in a really big way.
Whoa, it's like a TV commercial.
Yeah, we were kind of going for really short. You know, I'm very guilty of doing very long videos because I think it's also important to show all these details.
Right, yeah.
We really compressed the length of the actual performance there into just a few seconds. Generally, I hold that curtain up for magicians that are familiar with that. That trick really takes 15 seconds to do when you hold the curtain up. That's the time when I deliver the message about the company.
Yep. They're all looking at you and thinking something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, you happy with that?
We were pretty blown away. You know, if you guys could see the original footage, you'd go, it's a miracle that it
got that. Out. Yeah.
My wife and I looked at each other last night and went, oh my God, this is like so much better than it should be.
Wow.
Because of the original video. I use this format of tell them what they're going to see, show them, and then tell them what they saw with the benefits thrown in. Mm-hmm. We originally wanted to include what we were saying, but because we weren't mic'd with a direct feed to the camera, we just put in a few words of what Jan was saying about,
right.
if you're feeling like your software has you all tied up, that's it. So I'm going to send that on to this client that I'm hoping to upsell for a show in June. And we're going to see if they buy the whole concept.
Can I give you a piece of feedback?
I'd love some feedback.
Okay. The only thing that kind of didn't sit well with me is your voiceover. Because your voice is like a very gentle, nice guy voice.
Mm.
But if you had somebody do it who had that really authoritative, they're this and they do that, I think it would come across much more powerfully.
Yeah.
I'll offer to you, Danny, that you could have that done on Fiverr in 24 hours just to hear two or three other voices.
Yeah.
I just hired somebody for a podcast opening that I'm going to be doing. But boy, I tell you, 12 to 24 hour turnaround for $5 just to hear a female voice, a British voice, a big, strong male voice, whatever.
Yeah, those are good suggestions.
It's really good, yeah.
You know, I'm behind the eight ball on producing this. I really should have had to the client like a week ago. So the other thing I thought about doing is having it being my voice and using the pronoun I instead of we, or they, that this is Danny talking to you and, I do this and I do that and my wife does, Jan does this and we, using those and just making it more Facebook-like, a little more personal.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't know which way to go there on it. Mm. But bottom line is, I'm kind of using this video to get the gig and then have the guy reshoot the whole thing properly.
Sure,
and then make even a better video of it.
Good. So. You're going to send this one out. That's great.
Exactly.
An exercise for yourself might be just to hear this with a couple other voices. I'd send him this script. I think this script captures the energy, what happens, and you can hear it a couple different ways. So.
Yeah, and exactly that. I mean, it's given that it's a work in progress. Send it out if it needs to go out now, and know that you'll have the video better in the future for future clients.
Right. Absolutely.
Is this a new piece of trade shows for you though?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Magicians are known for doing illusions at trade shows. And whenever we do that, there's always this big piece of big prop to schlep that has to be, sent, which at hundreds of dollars cost, then it
definitely
has stored. It has to go through drayage on the trade show floor. It can cost the client an extra $1,000 or more just to ship it there. And I've done that many times, but this thing, that curtain rolls up into a little tube and it's like almost carry on luggage on the
plane. Nice. Good call.
And, we have it custom made with the big brand, the big logo on it.
Yeah.
Which is, the logo's huge compared to, what could be put on any other prop.
Awesome. Very good, man. Yeah, that's fantastic. Good for you. Well, you will not stop inventing, Danny. I'm convinced of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good.
I got a question.
Jump in, please.
For you. I'm curious about promo videos in general these days. Next Tuesday, I'm heading across the Atlantic on a ship. And so I've got 8 sea days, and my big project is promo video along with going through all this stuff.
Good. Do you have the raw footage already, Tui?
And yes, I've had some footage for a couple of years. I mean, and that I've been, well, we don't need to go on how long I've been carrying an external hard drive onto cruise ships and then done nothing.
Yeah.
This time it's not happening.
Good for you, man.
They seem to be, I mean, what I've seen is that they seem to be getting somewhat shorter. I mean, my promo video, it's a little too old, but it's like 7 minutes, and they seem to be more 3-minute-ish range now.
Me too, yep.
My other question is, what I see a lot is, voiceover, music, and shots, and not much from the actual show. And, I mean, to me, I see that, and I go, okay, what are they hiding? You know, why are they not showing something in their show? Is it not good enough that they don't want us to see that? Or is, and whether it's hiding or not, is that what people are wanting these days? Is that, you know, what's your take on what promo video should look like?
A couple different levels. And, you know, I think it's important. And I always had a number of them. You know, I use the CVI kind of as an intro. It's about 2.5 minutes. And then, yeah, a link to the website on there where they can see the 7-minute video. And then I also have a link on there to a full hour show with a password protection on there. Totally important to give people more, but we have to dispense it in a way that makes sense. You know, it goes back to Sven's wonderful dating analogy here. You know, we're just going to see, do they like this? You know, the worst thing in the world is, I don't know that anyone's ever been hired. And I talked to a lot of producers. I think we have at least 4 interviews with producers that come out in week 8 of this program, which are complete looks under the hood of what they do when they book events. It's crazy. It's great stuff to hear. But I asked all of them, have you ever shut off a tape and then hired the act? Nope.
Okay.
We don't shut off the tape and then hire the act. So it's big. So, you know, get a 2.5-minute one. You know, it's the great line from, was it Mark Twain that said, sorry for the long letter. If I had more time, I would have written a shorter one. You know, that's what we need to do with our videos. We need to get it so it's engaging enough. That's what I like about Danny's thing that just showed no one's going to turn that off. Mm-hmm. It's 50 seconds. It continues to build on itself. Then they may say, hey, can we see the whole trick? Can we see the scripting for it? Hey, right. Better than show you the scripting I did. Let me write the scripting for your trade show that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Go onto their website for 10 minutes, find out what they want their customers to know, send them their script.
Okay.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. The last time around, my thinking behind it was I watched John and Owens a bunch and basically just based it on theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are they at now? They have a 5-7-minute one?
And I think they're shorter now, too.
Yeah.
I think they put a new one out. Well, they definitely put a new one together after America's Got Talent.
Right, the AGT stuff. I saw that one, yeah.
So I think they've, because that's what they've shorter, and I think they've got some voiceover on it too.
Yep.
And I think they've got a corporate and theater both kind of geared.
And, you know, let me just address that for a second too. Along the lines of not leaving the prospect to connect dots, a voiceover can be really helpful. So can on-screen testimonials, either written or live. What we want to do is to do the Sven thing. We want to take them through a show. We want to have them have this experience where they don't know us, and then at the end they feel compelled to want us. Elements that go into that is how long do they have to invest? What do they see on the screen? What do they hear? So if a voiceover helps tell the story, heck yeah, use it sparingly. Also, as the video I showed earlier on JenSlawSpeaks.com, she does the voiceover. You know, they cut to her. There's a heading, and then she talks about her important piece of it and then shows an example of it happening.
That's a question on demo videos that I've asked a few entertainers of role, but I mostly know magicians and comedians. Do you have your best stuff in the video, or do you want to leave that as a surprise for when they actually see the show?
What do you guys say? What does everyone say about that?
Best stuff in the video.
Might I offer?
Yeah, jump in, Jeff.
Just kind of getting back to the different types of promo videos. There's a couple of schools of thought that I've heard. You know, I'm always inclined to put, you know, the best stuff and all the big different stuff and the changes and this, whatever thing. And then sometimes they're like, hey, don't show the client everything because, you know, you want to be able to, it's like you don't want to give away the farm. You know, there are some people that actually are that too, because some clients, they're going to keep, unfortunately, they're going to keep asking and asking and asking for stuff. And the more options you give them, the more
kind of the more invested they think they are when you really don't want them to be. Is that, you know, I kind of see where I'm going with that.
Yep.
So it's important to have different versions, perhaps, of your promo videos and customized stuff. But I've also found that I don't want to give them too many options because I don't want, you know, I kind of want to control as much of that as possible. So they're not getting into like nitpicking. Well, we saw you guys wear these outfits. Can you wear these outfits? We saw you wear, you know, can we want this? We want both of these costume changes in the videos. And can you add dancers? Well, we don't do, your budget doesn't cover dancers, that kind of thing. So I don't know. What do you think, Barry?
Mm. Interesting. You know, I'm from the school of blow them away while we have them. But you know, it's not like you're you know, you've met some real world things. No one's asking us, can we wear the blue shirts or can we do the joke? It's like, you know, and it's funny, you know, I would say, you know, if you're doing your Beach Boys band, you're doing your, you know, whatever you're doing, it's like, hey, it's their greatest hits done better than they do them currently for a tenth of the price. What more do you want from me? You know?
Yeah.
The other thing too, that I would keep in mind on this is differentiating the client from the audience. The client is hiring you. They're likely not watching the show. They're watching their audience to make sure that their event is running smoothly. They've got 1,000 things on the day of the event. They don't have time to watch the show. So it doesn't matter if that one person has seen your greatest, best things. They want to see their audience is happy. Yeah. The audience has never seen your promo video. They're showing up to the event. It's all going to be a surprise for 99% of the people in the room. So don't worry about showing your best stuff to the client.
Yeah. And you know what? Theoretically and logically, that makes perfect sense. A lot of times the client sometimes wants to get caught up in micromanaging every aspect of your, you know, what you do. And so that's kind of where the idea of don't give away the farm. Definitely show them your best stuff, but don't give them like everything, all of the options. I mean, I don't know, maybe at least if you know.
Right, but that's where, again, it comes down to you've built a relationship of trust and authority and expertise. And like how I always steer things is, tell me everything you can about your event. I'm going to tell you how I can best serve you once I know what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah.
Parameters.
Hopefully by that point, you will have, you know, gotten to the point where they should know well enough to not even be asking you those kind of questions.
Right, right. I'll give you the absolute best I possibly can for your circumstances if you give me the information about your event.
Definitely. So I guess, you know, just have options, you know, as far as different cuts, different, you know, versions of your promos, several different versions, obviously.
I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of my testimonials, and I don't know if you saw that, but it's funny. It's exactly what Sven's saying. One of my testimonials say, I booked entertainment for this thing, and all I do is watch the audience. And the Raspini Brothers only had one person go out, and that person came back in. I mean, I never even thought about that, but what a viewpoint that person had on it. They're just, you know, they knew the act, they trusted it, and they watched the audience the whole time. Like, wow. Interesting. So.
Yeah, and again, the client isn't there to be part of the audience. They're there to work. They're organizing the event. They're doing whatever. Oh. They are not the audience.
No, they're beat up, man. They're, by the time the show happens,
exactly.
They're so happy now. And I even use that sometimes. I say, this is an hour of your conference. You don't have to worry about it. And I know there aren't many of those.
Exactly.
I tell people that at some point during the cycle. Like, this is just an hour you can forget about.
Right.
And it's reassuring.
And maybe that's the biggest benefit. that's the ultimate benefit to the buyer. Hey,
right.
For an hour or 90 minutes, you're going to be able to take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, or catch up on the other 10 bonfires they need to put out.
Yeah, that's right. You can go have the drink.
That's a good line, actually.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Cool.
Is there a service you would recommend over all the others for web design? Anyone in specific?
Are you talking about a platform, Colin? Like just an overall platform?
Or a designer, like a web designer.
Yeah, like I guess like, you know, Fiverr, what, you know, one of those.
I'll tell you what.
I know there's Squarespace and Strikingly or ones you can do yourself that have sort of plugins.
If you're going to use a designer and you're going to go the Fiverr route, for the most part, you're going to find tons of people that know how to build and design sites in WordPress. especially if you're going to be doing these marketing-centric sites where you're talking about landing pages and things like that.
Right.
Especially if you're going to be creating multiple landing pages, because if you're going to be creating several landing pages, like we're talking about here, customized landing pages, then you're most likely going to need, you know, some sort of a WordPress theme or plugin that allows you to do that. There's tons of stuff. So, you know, and also getting to that outsourcing question, you really got to be very specific. So like when I outsource something on Fiverr, I'm like, hey, I'm looking for, you know, somebody, I'm doing it right now with one of my band's websites. I'm dealing with a guy in India. Hey, I need this. This is what it used to look like. I need the elements to go here. I'm working in Thrive themes. I'm using the Thrive content editor, blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, so I try to speak their language as much as possible. But I would say, to answer your question, sorry, I'm monopolizing the question, but definitely most people, most designers, especially on Fiverr, outsources work in WordPress. And you can connect any type, any one of your email marketing programs to WordPress. You can connect that, you know, and most of the themes and plugins are going to be on WordPress.
And Colin, let me give you one other idea, just because I know, you know, you want to keep the technical stuff out of it, and bless your heart, you know, with WordPress, you really do. I mean, I hire someone that's $125 a month, but she always keeps my sites updated, always does the security stuff, but it's $125 a month that you don't need to spend. If you go on to Fiverr and look up Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, you know, these are platforms that do all of that for you. There is nothing. Yeah, there's $8 a month or something you pay, or you pay $100 for the year. And it's one time. You don't have to do the updates. You don't have to do the plugins. You don't have to, there's nothing. When I basically retired Raspini Brothers, I didn't want to do the WordPress anymore. And I had somebody just move what I had onto a Squarespace site. It's great. Mobile friendly. I never have to think about it. It's never going to have a virus, never going to be updated. So could you get someone from an Upwork or a Fiverr to build you the starting guts of a Squarespace site and then give you an hour of time or a video on how to update and change a picture? Yeah, you can do that real easily and never worry about the back door of it again.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not really like concerned with like trying to pinch pennies. I just wanted to find the best service that...
And I'm not even saying that for the money. I'm just saying for the peace of mind. You know, you want to work on other stuff, not think about it. There's a piece of my brain that used to always think, my God, are my plugins up? Or I'd get an email, this site's out. I went, oh my God, go away. You know.
And to Barry's point, ironically, as much, you know, invested in WordPress and things that I am, one of my, you know, other projects is hosted on a template based website like that too. So there's definitely a place for that. It just really comes down to how much control you want to have, you know, design wise, but there are template sites, Squarespace and, you know, and Wix and all that. And then there's like the entertainment specific ones, like there's Bandzoogle for bands and, you know, and Hostbaby and stuff for bands and stuff like that. So I'm sure there's got to be some sort of a musician centric, or I'm sorry, a magician or juggler or other entertainer centric template based web design program.
But you guys would both recommend Squarespace as a good like templated website?
I had somebody do it on that and it seemed fine. Looks great.
Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, you know, any of those are good platforms.
Okay. Great. Thank you guys.
If you don't go the WordPress route. Yeah.
And I would say from personal experience, Weebly seems a bit more limited than Squarespace. Like I'm going to migrate over from a couple quick little content collecting spots I made on Weebly, and I'm going to do my next round on Squarespace as I gradually flush everything out.
Awesome. Yeah. I can usually smell a Weebly site when I land on it. Good. So, all right, we're at an hour and a half. I don't know, you know, anything else coming up for you guys that we can solve, go online on a screen share live and solve any... what else is coming up? What big risks are you willing to take this week? That's what I'd love to see. Throw one in the chat box or two, and I'll publish the chat on the replay page. You know, any big risk you want to take? That's a great challenge.
This is a big one for me. I've got an event that I'm targeting, likely not for this year, but next year. It's coming up in the middle of May, which is why I likely think it won't happen this year. You know, I recently had my whole web presence just kind of got evaporated for me by my web host. So it's like, man, I can't even refer them to my crappy old website, you know, that at least gives them the idea that I'm a legitimate human being.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that is my big challenge. I made the initial research call to a peripheral person on this who could give me a lot of background information about the whole event. And then I think for me, it's a matter of figuring out how do I now approach making that call, even though my web presence isn't what I want it to be. So I want to commit myself to doing that. And I know I'm just going to have to put a little thought into like how to approach that conversation just because the event's coming up immediately. And like I say, it doesn't really matter if I book it this year. It could be just like I'm laying the groundwork for next year.
Would you contemplate, I mean, any of us that don't have a website that we feel is ready for a certain event, would you contemplate a single page, like using Instapage or something that I shared, where you just literally create a single landing page about them, about their event, and some info about you to start a conversation?
I hadn't thought of doing a targeted landing page, but I think either of those options would be a great idea, just to have something. I think that's a great idea. But yeah, especially the idea of a targeted page.
Yeah, because when I ask for big scary risks and you tell me about something in May of 18, my red flag goes up a little bit, you know?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I'd love to see something that, you know, you'd say, man, you know, there's this thing in Boulder that I know is coming to town. It's coming in September. It's a fall launch. And my commitment's going to be to get some landing page in front of somebody who I make a weak connection with on Twitter, LinkedIn, or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the other good one. The May event also sets me up to then approach a very similar event that is a summer July event.
Oh, cool.
So that can be the one that I, you know, I leapfrog them to put stuff together.
Good.
I have a quick question, Barry.
Hey, Tom.
How effective are video testimonials, and do they have a shelf life?
You know, it's funny. How do you guys feel about this? When I see a square, somebody playing drums? Let's see.
Yeah, drums.
Or they need to see a doctor. One or the other. It's
yeah. It's or they need to close their other web browser.
It's a percussion issue or a medical issue. So testimonials I think are great. What jumps out for me nowadays is when I see a square frame video and there's, you know, that it looks like the old, 3:4 format. You know, sometimes those paint a little bit of age on things. Certainly clothing, hairdo, things like that will date things.
I use a lot of video testimonial. Oh, wait, sorry, were you done? I didn't mean to interrupt.
The reason I ask is I've got a 2-week gig coming up. I'm performing Einstein Estates Portrait at a theater nearby for 2 weeks. And I've never done testimonials before because I never really thought how effective they might be.
Oh, please do.
Get them.
Especially, Tom, if you're at a place where you can perfect what you're looking for over the course of 2 weeks. And I tell you, if I don't know if the theater would be into this or if you have it already set up theater, but if there's some kind of a backdrop where they're standing in front of a wall that has the logo on it or a poster, boy, if you could just get somebody, you know, an intern, go to a local college in New Mexico or, you know, wherever this is happening, just say, hey, I need a couple of interns to do this thing. Pizza, dinner, and $100 in it for you. Set up a nice camera, nice lighting in front of this thing, and just get people to look at the interview that's standing here, the camera right here, have three questions you ask them. You know, what surprised you about the show? Right. What will you never forget about the show? And what will you talk about? You know, so those are three very good questions to trigger. And then also something about their feeling state. I mean, if you can get them, what did you feel during the show? Those questions evoke answers that make for such interesting on-stage testimonial instead of, it was great, you know, or,
right.
But boy, you can get people talking like that, and then...
And as to how long you can use them, I have a lot, not on my English site, but on my Swedish site, I have lots of video testimonials. I very rarely take testimonials on my gig these days, because they will never look through all the ones I already have.
Oh, yeah. You have so many, yeah. One good thing to get made, though, and I did this with Showbiz Blueprint, was I just sent my entire catalog of Showbiz Blueprint alumni testimonials to an editor that I've used for some projects. He's in Serbia, believe it or not. Great guy. Speaks English well enough, and I just for the hell of it, let me see what he does. I loved what he did with it. He was so detached. He just made a story out of them. And, you know, that's something you could definitely get done with. If you can get even a week, you know, a week to kind of feel into it, How many people come to the show every night for 2 weeks?
Well, this theater holds about 150. I've got six performances.
Over the 2 weeks, six performances?
Yeah. Three each weekend.
Boy, I'd really suggest two things. First, you do it, and second, you don't do it. You know what I mean? You get it done, and you get a team, you know, some guys, young guys from a university who would just love a project like this.
No, yeah, that's great.
I'll definitely second that whole concept. When I first moved to Boulder and had a huge show to work on, had no money, I just went to the college and went to the photography department. I knew I needed some good photographs, and I found a photographer who was willing to, you know, like, hey, yeah, I need a photo project for my class. And he gave me some killer photos. You know, they're basically free.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the university resource. And then you're also, especially with video, you're getting people who have just been trained on the leading edge of what current video software is. Mm-hmm. So they're totally up to date. So it's a great way to go.
Wondering for the life of them what they're going to do for a final project or for, you know, something. And it's a great time right now, too. I mean, final, June. And
that's true.
That's a really nice time for you to just give someone an opportunity. So, oh man, that's exciting. Yeah. I'd love to see
that. Repeat those questions again.
I was just going to ask the same thing. If you could repeat the questions for the testimonials.
Oh, sure. What stands out for you about the show? What did you, I have all these listed. What surprised you about the show? What did you feel? What did you feel about the show? What will you remember? Yeah. What will you remember about the show?
Yeah, what will you never forget?
You never forget about the show?
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, especially with an Einstein show like that, I mean, boy, you're going to get some very timely stuff coming up right now.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Tui, are you performing on that cruise ship that you're going across?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a performance. Okay.
Yep, that was.
So I know. I know how much free time you have, so I'm not going to let you slip, man. I'm gonna chase you.
Yeah, no, I'll be doing this call next week, probably from sitting on the ship in Miami.
Oh, cool, good.
I get on next Tuesday.
Nice.
And Tom, one more thing, in case it's not obvious, I would certainly set up a video camera again, like the GoPro or whatever, point it out into your audience. You know, set it up every night, just film the audience. You can get those both captured still photos and some live reaction that'll get interspersed into your promo video of like the audience lighting up at certain moments or laughing or whatever it is their reactions are, but getting those, that is huge testimonial credibility authority.
Yeah. I thought of that. Barry had given examples of cameras he's bought for that very thing. And that's
right.
Yeah. What Sven just said though, that was your payoff for being here all day today. I tell you, it's the, to be able to have someone saying something that was so meaningful for them, maybe they tear up, but to be able to cut to B-roll of that happening on stage, you're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to keep in mind too, if you don't have the video cameras, you know, this is your video camera right there.
Works good too, yeah.
You know, your smartphone. I mean, John, who's in our mind group, whatever.
Oh, cool.
That's his main video camera now, John Fitzsimmons. All he uses is his iPhone 7. It's got a 4K camera. You know, and you can even zoom or whatever and still have really high quality footage. So there's just no excuse. Go to the camera shop and get a $5 tripod that'll hold a smartphone and you've got something.
Nice.
Good stuff, man.
That's great.
Good. Hey, I want to just wind this back around to any risks people want to take this week, any big challenges they want to give themselves and put it out in front of a group. And you can also do it in the chat box. Did somebody do that?
I want to.
Yay, Dorothy.
I want to make a new video.
Awesome.
That's a client-friendly opening video. I mean, I have a really detailed video of my show, but I'd like to make one with me talking. We kind of talked about it, Barry, me talking about what I think a diva is, why they're important, a little bit of concept about my show, I guess. Or, I mean, I know I need to make it client-friendly. So,
awesome.
Deborah, is there any chance you would do that? Dorothy.
Yeah.
Talking like what a diva is, I want to see that as five different divas, you know, yeah. Like, well, what I think a diva is, like, I would love to see that in character.
I could do that. I've done that before. I could do
that. Yeah, that would just seem like that would make it so engaging to me as a viewer.
Yeah, Dorothy does great green screen stuff, man. I've been watching some of your stuff. It's, yeah, you have the power to, tell a message pretty well. What the divas are talking about, make sure it's something that the audience you're targeting that video wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to ask, and those of you who have tech knowledge with green screen, is it important that I do a green screen, or should I do like white, like super bright white, like that kind of corporate? I'm not quite sure even how to do it, but I think I can figure it out.
I find that sometimes it's better to use the green screen and then make it white, because sometimes white walls come out as gray.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you can do to get that tight. I love a nice, clean, white video. I see them sometimes, and they're so usable on a web page, you know, because of a white background. It's very usable. So something to that, too. But if you wanted to have some fun with having, you know, one diva talk about what it means to a corporate meeting to be there, or, you know, how this, and then at the end you want them all fighting, that's green screen. Yeah.
Yeah, or like Shirley Bassey, who does all the James Bond stuff, you know.
Yeah.
She could be like highly motivational, or I don't know.
Yeah. Cool.
Will you be sure to post that video to the Facebook group? I really want to see that. Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Now I'm looking at a 10-hour shoot, but yeah.
Whenever you get it done.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be this week, but I
right, exactly.
I want to hear some stuff that's bubbling inside that you'll make public.
Okay. Yeah.
Is the best stuff for a website for pictures green to do the pictures in front of a green screen, or can you use a white backdrop?
Yeah, I've never done that, but I guess it depends on, you know, how you treat them afterwards post production. I've never done the green screen with a.
You haven't? Okay.
Not myself. I'm trying to think. I probably have on some TV shows they've done them, but yeah, I've never been responsible for one of those.
I'll speak to here at the Boulder Circus Center. We've got both a awesome black curtain and an amazing red curtain, and both of those make stunning backdrops for like headshots and kind of torso shots or whatever. And so if you happen to be in a theater at some point, you know, just go stand in front of the curtain, you know, because it has a theatrical feeling to it. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Definitely, yeah.
It's got a little bit of texture, a little bit of weight, but it's not at all distracting or, you know, busy.
Cool.
Colin, I also think it's maybe a good idea just to ask people in your area and find someone who knows about how to tip the lighting and what to use for backgrounds. They are the creative people. You know, they do this every day and or weekly or whenever, I don't know. But finding people who are in the know how to put you in a real good scene light. Or something like this. Yeah, in good light. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, a good photo is so priceless.
Oh,
I mean, it literally is worth 1,000 words. It'll sell you so quick.
Yeah, and you know, that one you have, Renee, on your homepage. It's like, I don't know who shot that, but you know.
Oh my God, it's
that
so
tells
good.
A lot of story. You can write a lot of paragraphs about who that guy is, but you know.
Just drips money.
Yeah, it's right. You're not going to ask me how much I cost. That was great. That's right. I'll kill you. Yeah. Yeah, funny. Cool. Good. Anyone else want to go on record? We'll sign out if not.
I'm fine.
Nice.
I've got a theater show coming up on Sunday.
Nice, Al.
I need to sell 25 more seats. So
how do you want to do that, man? You want to go on a radio? You want to do a Facebook campaign? You want to do a contest?
Oh, that's kind of a cool idea. I was just thinking Facebook, my email list, and then asking people, hey, can I pop this on your Facebook page, let your friends know? And then also contacting some of the meetup groups where maybe they could let people know, hey, this event is going on.
Is it the family show? What's
it's, the time? No, it's for adults. Magic, comedy magic.
Did you try radio and TV, local TV, newspapers? Did you try it? When is it?
No, it's just Sunday.
This Sunday. Today is Tuesday.
Oh. I would go to a bunch of stand-up clubs and do a little thing and talk about it.
Holy.
That's a good idea.
You know, and it's funny. I mean, what Renee pitches out, it's not too late for TV. I mean, it's literally, if there's a local and timely hook, we do a whole module on TV, I think module 9 or 10. It's so damn powerful. But I mean, just in a nutshell, if there's a local or timely event happening in Los Angeles that you can go on as a magician, do some kind of a trick, at the end of it, they're going to say, hey, Alan's got this show coming up Saturday, the thing. Just, boy, that's how long TV books out. TV books out 2 or 3 days. You know, without going deep into the module, let me just put this in the chat box.
Yeah, Alan, morning news shows.
Yep.
I was on all the major TV stations in Denver last year on the morning news shows to promote events for the Denver Zoo that I was part of. And they're hungry. They are hungry.
Hungry.
Because otherwise they're just sitting there talking to themselves. But if they can get someone like you on there that's visual and interesting, doing something cool, they love it.
Right.
So, yeah, I second the reach out to the news stations and get on the morning news program.
Yeah, so if you want to go on record as saying you'll do something like this, I mean, just jump ahead in the modules here. Segment proposals, open up any one of these. These are written. I paid 10 grand to go to a workshop to learn how to do this and audition for 25 news stations. I booked every one of them. But this is the exact this is the exact format that they expect to see. Nothing different. The name of your segment, available for in-studio interview. You can get this at sugarfreeberry.com. And this isn't actually part of the PDF. The PDF starts here that they can download lower on the page. And this first one is a quote. So you'd find some kind of quote about something that's happening timely or locally in Los Angeles that you want to talk about, bring an awareness to. The second one, this is a statistic. The second one is a quote that you make. This is the guest's basically opinion statement. In this third paragraph, you tell them exactly what the audience is going to see, what they're going to take away from it. And then you break down into a little bit any props you're going to use. You tell them what props you're going to use. And then for some stupid reason, news always loves a celebrity tie-in. One out of 25 shows have I been asked about the celebrity tie-in that was on my thing, and I just had some fun with it. But it's just an expected part of the segment proposal.
Okay.
Some picture here that connects what you're talking about to the thing. And then your formula. What's your five-step formula? 3, 4, or 5-letter formula. And you're going to do this on the show. You're going to give a 3, 4, or 5-letter formula for them to remember.
And how much time do they want?
3 to 5 minutes, probably three.
Okay.
Until you're established.
Yeah. And then yeah, you'll it's get pretty quick.
Yeah, then you'll get up to five, but three when you're getting started. But
do they film more and then edit it, or you just go for it?
Live TV, right in the morning.
Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's how much I watch the news.
Me too. I'm back there in the green room getting ready to go on. And I'm going, oh my God, people watch this. I always forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, come on to this page if you want though, Alan, and just see what I do on these pages. You'll see it's not brain surgery. But I got 25 of them here now, and I didn't have any when I started when I did my book. So.
Wow.
But just talk about something. Talk about something that's happening timely and local in Los Angeles, and then they'll mention your show at the end.
Oh. Thank you.
And whether you get it or not, man, you're doing the work. That's the important thing right now.
Yeah.
So, who was up? Someone said something I didn't hear.
I have one scare for you. Well, scare for me now. Awesome. I will try. I will try to get on the radio or newspaper or something talking about pickpockets.
Nice.
And I think the summer is coming up, so that's good. And I also was recently at Sweden Got Talent. I did not pass, but I still, the guy didn't have anything to steal. That's a long story. The production team was supposed to load him with stuff. I go out in front of the camera. He has nothing.
Oh my God, man. I feel
he has a watch. Oh my God. He has a watch, a pen, and a bus card.
But the pickpocket got to him sooner.
Right, exactly. Someone already robbed you blind.
Exactly. No, but I got a good reaction out of the watch, and most of what people have said about it was good, but I obviously didn't pass.
Okay.
I'm still thinking maybe I can use this to get on the radio and talk about it. I don't know.
Well, you can do something funny. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about your results and not being on, but it would be funny.
No, it's already on. It was broadcast Saturday.
It's awesome. Were you on? Did they put you on the TV?
Yeah.
Nice. Very good. So, you could actually talk about the localness, the timeliness, which is the big thing of summer vacation. People are going to be coming out. There's criminals in town. This big bald guy from California is coming to Sweden. You know, we got to watch out. You can even say this judge did what every tourist should do, not carry anything important on him. Great piece for your, that's a great thesis for your news program.
Yeah.
Dude, I would plug that right now so hard, Robert. Get a no from every TV station you can right now. Just make
all it. Right.
Do it. And radio too. You know, they'll be the great headline too. Pickpocket on the radio. It's perfect. You know, it's got the great built-in comedy thing. So, yeah, good. Good. So I'm going to hold you to that one, man. That's a great one to check in on you with.
All right. I will do that.
All right. Cool. All right. The other guys, I'm going to trust you that you're brewing something up in your head and you'll come up with something. And I hope you'll share it in the Facebook group of kind of something you'll do in the next week, 10 days, 2 weeks that feels a little bit out of your league right now. It's going to be important as we move into the second half of Showbiz Blueprint here. You're going to get challenged real hard and you're going to have the tools to escalate them beyond what we're doing right now with the outbound marketing stuff. So, woohoo. All right, everybody. I'll sign out. Make everybody.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Thank you, guys.
Good to see everybody.
Showing up. Bye. Stay in your accountability groups. Use those to challenge yourselves as well, you guys, and we'll catch up soon.
We do that. Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.